Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise to show us how to grow a business in tech today. My name is Gary Lafter, your host and founder of the Growth Focus Partnerships, where we work with tech consultancies and show them how to build better relationships, how to do more sales and close better deals, but more importantly, how to be seen and heard as the authority in their industry without relying on referrals or word of mouth. And today, I can't begin to show you how excited I am about this particular episode, because we're going to be talking about something that's very close to my heart when it comes to building business, and that is sales and founder-led sales, no less, and how we actually grow from there. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest to you, Gene. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And why don't we start off by you introducing a little bit about yourself, your background, and what is it that your company does?
Sure. I'm Gene Templin. I'm the co-founder of Nyack.ai. A little bit about my company. Our company is really to help founders really grow their sales. And we use AI, intelligence, and we layer it into your sales tech stack. And we really help you drive those conversations and really do that with data. So really making data-driven decisions.
Well, that's fabulous. We're going to dive a lot deeper into that as we get in through this episode. But I just want to dial it back a little bit, like I always do. So tell us a little bit about your journey. You've worked for some major big hitting names. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey, and then what were you most passionate about that led you now to co-founding Nyack?
Sure. Yeah, I've been in the Valley for years now and have worked for some of the larger companies there, some startups that got acquired, like Anchor Free, which built the VPN Hotspot Shield, and also an eye tracking software company called Sticky.ai that got back acquired by Tobii, and larger names like Twilio and Avast. And my last job at Twilio is really where I saw this problem happening a lot, where we had a sales team. And we were unable to have them sell our Flex product, which was our contact center, without adding a lot of layers into the sales organization because of knowledge that was either dispersed or all over the place. So this is some of the pain points that I got to see firsthand. And then I met my co-founder, who actually had worked with twice before. And he said, look, I'm a sales guy at heart, and I'm a product person at heart. And let's bring these two ideas together and launch Nyack.ai. And that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, that's great. And this is the key thing when it comes to tech. Usually you're the product person, you've got the salesperson. And today we're going to be talking about the company and what it actually does to go and help founders. But we've got to, I suppose, let's look at the issues first, because when it comes to tech companies, most tech companies have this build it and they will come, this field of dreams mentality. As long as I build it or my service is great, they're just going to flood to me. And you and I both know that's not true. And then they got the added pressure of them being sales and having to do sales. So many founders, even though they're still doing some form of founder-led sales, even up to sort of 10, 15, 20 million, they do tend to struggle with the transition of then moving to a sales team, trusting it to a sales team. What are the biggest mistakes you see that founders make when it comes to transitioning into sales team? And how does Nyack actually help them fix that?
Sure. Yeah, I think letting go and the visibility. So what Nyack does, it really helps the new sales rep, whomever you may hire. It allows that founder to let go, right? Because it allows them to have visibility into it. We're in every call. We're pretty much, as you could call us, a call recorder, right? We summarize the information, we give dashboards and information back to the founders and also to the reps to say, hey, what are you doing right and what are you doing wrong? And so when I interview, you know, founders, and being a founder myself, it's kind of like, I don't want to let it go because they're not going to say it the same way or the messaging will be different. So in addition to being the call recorder, we create a lot of smart content by aggregating a lot of content and digital signals, and create smart contents like company profiles, buyer profiles. You could also say this is loosely your ICP, right? And we help them understand the sales playbooks that could help them win by tying into their CRMs. If they have them, some founders don't even use them because they're too early. So the idea of standardizing messaging and then helping them know that it's there and being able to review it and bringing data back out so they can make data-driven decisions and allowing them to let go. And even myself as a founder, sometimes it's hard to think, well, what did you say in that call, right? Or can I see what you said? I still do it to this day, and it's not simple, right, to always let go. So that visibility is something that we pride ourselves in.
Yeah, you can understand why. You have founders, it is their baby. They started the company usually from its infancy. They brought it up to where it was, and they just get the thing. They don't want to, as you say, let go of the reins because they fear that it just might get away from them. But there is a way, as you say, as long as you're trained your staff well in order to do that, then really the better you train them, the better SOPs you have, the easier it is actually going to be. So you work predominantly, I know you work with others, but you've worked with founders of MSPs and tech consultancies. And, you know, having looked over the years now, what do you think separates those who scale successfully than compared to those who tend to just struggle or just keep hitting these plateaus?
I think it's really when you're able to make decisions with data, right? And I think some people can take a couple of data points in the past and be able to say, this is enough for me to make decisions. Others don't. So to me, it's really about making data-driven decisions. And that's what stuff like conversational AI is able to take from a conversation like we're having right here and translate it into data points for actions, right? And I think, you know, you can do that after the call, which is typically what a coaching solution will do, or during the call, and giving that visibility back up to the team to be able to understand, hey, how can I make my, you know, even little things like what is my average cost to acquire a customer? These are kind of data decisions that people who are really good at this will make it happen.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And it's actually like when we've talked before, it's about understanding the numbers, not only understanding numbers, but which numbers are more important than other numbers, you know, which metrics are important from that. Yeah. So before we get on to that, let's talk about product market fit, because there's going to be people listening who are saying, yes, that's great, but I'm just in the early stages of it. I don't really need a sales team yet. It's just me. But first and foremost, we've got to get paying customers. This is the key thing. We're going to get paying customers and clients. So we often hear about product market fit. How did you validate Nayax's product with your first paying customers?
Yeah, so that's good question. It's hard, right? And we actually have we're still in the early stages of product market fit, but what we're continuing doing is we're listening to our customers, right? And we're going out there and we're marketing different messages and testing them, right? And also testing them through the beginning of the sales cycle, through the sales cycle. What are those key pain points that my product really addresses, right? And in our case with founders, sometimes it's, hey, I need to make payroll. I need to drive revenue in the door, right? Or I have a big whaler and I know if he goes away, I am going to be stuck and I'm going to have all this staff without them. How can I de-risk, right? So understanding what the real pain point is and what your product fits, that's kind of how we've been able to get our first paying customers. And then thinking about it in, you know, other things that we use, just if you want to know some tools, we look at like keywords that are searched. Is it really a bigger problem than the 5 people or the 10 people you might get out of the gate, right? And also understanding, you know, how do I get my ICP and who are they? And we use tools like Clay and other things like dark funnel signals to kind of understand at what point are these people? Because it's not just understanding your ICP, it's also understanding when they're ready to buy, right? In many ways.
Yeah, that's a really good point there, Jim, because, you know, we also know that studies have shown that 97 to 98% of people are not ready to buy just yet. We've only got a 1 to 3% of any marketing message that lands. Right. That's another key thing that lands are ready to buy at any one time. But it's just making sure you're not chasing after the wrong people, isn't it? And making sure that your message and sales is working to those who are ready to buy. You know, and we can't really talk about growth of a company, Gene, without talking about AI. And you and I have mentioned before that AI companies who say they're working with AI don't usually use AI internally. So what are some ways you've leveraged AI inside your company to help you grow?
Sure. We use it to code. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. We use it in the sales process because we're building a tool. And then even we're really believers in this digital first, human when needed kind of sales play that's coming out. We know based off all the research, you can look it up. I think it's McKinsey has a big study on it, but 80% of people are out there doing research. So if you think at the other side of the house, the buyer is probably doing all this research. There's going to be AI helping and assisting them. So when they're out there, they might be on your site. They might be in your code base. They might be trying it out in a pilot. They're already looking. And these are all the signals that you need to understand and really aggregate together to know these things. And there's tools to do this. Like I had mentioned Clay, we use other things. We use some tools that help us. We use, of course, we prompt engineer a ton because that's what we do, right? But we're looking at signals like, did they come to the site? Did they open emails? Did they not? Like these are all small little indicators to value intent, to give you an intent or what we would call lead score, right? How do you lead score things, but with more signals than the old way you used to do it, right? And when you get to the call, when they actually book that demo, they're ready to talk and they're not at the beginning of their sales process. They're way farther down. So you have to meet them where they're at and not come to that first call. You have to come in prepped, right? You have one chance to kind of get it right. That's kind of some of the tools. And that's really where our tool set comes in is when they're on that, hey, I'm going to book a demo with you. So you've already been kind of, you know, the filter has already been through, right? And you've made it past round one. And now you have the ability to talk to them and really put that personal touch and build that relationship. And that's really where, AI and some of the tools you're seeing out there, I think, can really help. And our tool is one, but there's others too, right? And what we focus in on different than anybody else is we focus in on that relationship. So that's what we really believe is extremely important in making sure that they select you over everything else. I'm going to assume that there's not, by this point, there's not this huge differentiation in product, right? That has kind of already been addressed because they can find
you. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because about the importance of becoming prepared to a sales call. We've all been on sales call where the person is just nowhere near because buyer's behavior has changed. It has completely changed in the last sort of 10 years. And those who are running tech firms, tech consultancies, probably started more than a decade ago, you know, where buyers were probably uninformed or ill-informed of what they want. Now they do know what they want. And like you say, they're probably more researched than you are at the time they sit down to the table. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you found that founders are making when it comes to pitching on these calls or just turning up for sales calls in general?
I think the thing that I probably hate the most, even that happens to me, is when I go and book a demo and they're like, well, tell us what you want to book talk about in the demo. Well, if I come to you, you're selling a product, you should kind of know who I am. I've had people come in and not understand anything that my company does when I get on a call. Right. So when I think of like, how do I make sure I don't make those mistakes? But we've all made them. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect. We have all made them. But those are some of the ones where that's where you're really sure that person didn't do any research. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they start off with the same discovery questions, which tell me your main pain point. Right. And they're reading through some kind of framework or script on the other side. You can tell they haven't done their homework. They have to come to the call prepared because it's otherwise it feels like to me anyways, I'm wasting my time. You're wasting my time, right? Because we're spending full first sales cycle kind of talking about things that I've already researched on the web.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, what was your experience in some of these? That's kind of mine.
Yeah, well, I've got to say that some of when they just do the generic demo, that they've got to go from A to Z and quite frankly, I would say over 50% of it doesn't concern me at this moment in time. Or the person you're demoing has no concern over what you're doing. But you've been told you've got to go from A, you've got to go all the way through to Z. And you're just sitting there thinking, I just want to know if you can actually do this. Can it help me do this? And I think it's that outcome-led, again, as opposed to the product-led and the feature-led. You know, especially when you're doing demos there. And I think it's very much like you said, be prepared and know what I'm looking for. What are my pain points? What am I new? But I love what you said there, Gene, about the standard generic discovery questions.
Yeah.
It's like pulling teeth sometimes. You just go through it, you're listening to them and go, yeah, we're not ready for that question yet. And you're going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and this is what's going to happen. And it gets very, very boring. So let's talk about that. Prospects have done their research. We all know that. How should sales teams be adopting to this new shift of buyer behavior?
So yeah, they should be doing their research. The call planning becomes almost more important than anything else, right? It is the most important piece to come in prepared. And at NIAC, we actually create something called a smart call planner, and it goes out and it searches the internet and it tells you all the information. We pull personality types of the people on the call. We look at their company information. We look at your company information and your personality type, and we kind of adjust questions and make it really personalized so that the agenda is already personalized to them, right? And then we help you and coach you through that as we go, as you're in the call. And if you get stumbled, like everybody does, we kind of give you hints. But I think the most important thing you can do is come prepped, right? Come prepped. Know who my company is. Know what we're doing. Look out there. I'm sure there is a press release. There's something out there that you can understand what our pain points are. You just need to do the research, and AI can do that for you. And there's, you know, we happen to have a tool that does that. It's called a smart planner, and we bring it to you and we tie into your CRM and we get it all prepared. And we have one that, you know, our goal, my dream is in the future. It kind of just, you know, you ask Siri in the morning, hey Siri, what do I got to do today? And it's like, okay, Gene, you know, here are the four calls. Here are how we're going to prep you for them. Oh, you like that? Yes or no? Like, to me, that's the vision of the future, right? Where everything is kind of just, you're interacting with the AI. You're making it more personal. It might be, hey, you know, Gary knows Jim. You remember Jim? Tell Gary about Jim. And it's bringing all these data points that are there and are siloed and scattered across the internet, your private data, your public data, and bringing it together so that you become so informed, right? And then it really comes down to building that relationship and making sure you're reading the room.
That's an interesting. Well, we'll get back onto that in a little bit because I want to talk about relationships and the key thing, how I personally believe it's been lost, but we'll get back onto that. So we've talked about the actual sales call, the sales process, being prepared. I suppose the next thing, which is logical, is talking about the sales cycle. We know sales cycles tend to get longer and longer and longer and longer. I do think that's probably a product of being unprepared and, you know, not coming into things. But what is your view and your insights on how to shorten the sales cycle, which just seem to have getting more and more people involved now than they need to be?
I think you got to look at it from two sides, right? I do think that you're absolutely right. People unprepared, not asking the right questions, not understanding who they're talking to, tends to make it a longer sales cycle because they'll forget something or they didn't ask something and then we got to get on another call or you weren't there or they ghost you for some reason because they're doing something internally. I think that is definitely it. But I also think on the other side, I think there's about 10 people that's usually involved in a sales process. That's getting all automated too, right? Mm-hmm. So in the future, when you think of things and you come to the table, a lot of the pieces that were done manually are probably going to be automated. And when you get into the call, the thing that they're really going to be determining is this company and are these people A, really who they say they are and can do what they are? And are they the person that I want to build a relationship and put my faith in moving forward, to which AI cannot do to this day, right? It can analyze data, it can do other things. And I think in the long term, and what we're actually seeing, when you come in prepared for a meeting, you get your deal cycle goes faster, right? Because you're able to address the concerns that the person wants on the first call, maybe on the second call, it becomes shorter. And some of the people that we're working, especially in the MSP, is doubling the proposal rates that can be done because they're coming in prepared, because so many are not, right? And we had one of our sales reps said to us, he called the guy and they were on the phone. He's like, okay, I can't buy now, but you were so well prepared that I'm going to refer you to two other people because you guys are taking the time and understanding our problems, and that's what we're looking for. So I think that preparation step does make the velocity quicker, right? And then when you think big long term, a lot of the manual tasks on both sides are being done by AI, right? So that it should, in theory, go quicker again. Who knows? We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just said something then. This is why I loved having insights and leaders like yourself come on, because, you know, it gets my entrepreneurial and myself sort of gray matter thinking again. And you mentioned that, you know, it's almost an experience. The sales process, we talk about it being a process. It's almost mechanical. It's almost inhuman. But actually, those deals that actually get done when we're working with our clients and showing them how to do bigger and better deals through relationships, it's about making sure that's an experience. The sales process is an enjoyable experience. And as you say, that comes down from being prepared and not wasting anyone's time. That comes down from knowing what your product is and how it can solve, what their product is and how it can help. And a load of other things that help bond this relationship together, you know, and therefore making it an enjoyable relationship to be in rather than just this sterile transactional process that
and
people see sales in.
That repeatable sales process is lacking that human piece of it, right? That's what sales is higher. I mean, in theory, that's what sales is good at. They're that relationship builder, right? That is what our goal is, really, to bring them back to becoming that very strong relationship builder. Take the other stuff away. Even if you don't know something, helping you with AI to become a stronger relationship, because there are generational differences. Baby boomers talking to Gen Zs, they don't always use the same words. They don't always understand each other, right? And there's personality differences. There's a lot of other things, and there's cultural differences. So people, and that's where I call it like reading the room, right? You real good people at sales know how to read a room and change things up as needed. And those relationships are built because you have that empathy and you're building that trust, right? And that's really what we're focused on. That's what we call it, relationship intelligence, because we think that's the piece that's most important to the sales process, right? Is that relationship building.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go a little bit now. Now, we talked about sales, but obviously you and I have talked before. We know at the end of the day, sales comes from making sure you're not the best kept secret, making sure that you're marketing out there, making sure that you are known to people, number one, to book an appointment, number two, so they can do research on you. So right. Founders are often, especially in tech, over-rely on referrals and word of mouth. But we all know that's just not scalable. You're going to run out at some point. You can't really scale from there. What's your take, Gene, on the role of authority building through content, through speaking, through thought leadership, and when it comes to winning more clients?
I think all of the above. Like, we started with a content heavy strategy, right? And it takes a little bit of time, but we are then indexing pretty high on searches and different things now. So I think you want to be known as the authority in your, or, you know, a thought leader in what you're doing. And we've been very deliberate on the specific niche that we were trying to go after first. And then putting as many of these podcasts into place, any kind of speaking engagements, definitely. I think that's where the trust gets built. Like, again, somebody has to trust you to, and that's, I think, the biggest piece of the puzzle that founders have to figure out how to do is, I can build a product. It can be good. It can be the greatest product in the world. But if people don't trust me and want to buy from me, then it doesn't matter. Right. And so that is, again, it's that relationship being built. Right. And to do that, you have to have conversations like this. We have to have content being, you have to go to and meet people in person, even the event where you're in person somewhere, somehow, where they're seeing your face, you know, shaking hands, taking checks. You know, that's how they used to say, you have to put your mayor on, right? Those are kind of things you absolutely have to do, because that's the trust that, and then once you get your clients in the door and you start to build that base of people, then I also think there's other things you can leverage on top of that, just to continue those growth patterns.
Yeah, it is about building trust. We all know about, again, a lot of common sense isn't usually common practice. And although probably everybody listening to this has heard of the know, like, and trust mythology, they got to know you, like you, and then trust you. Right. But it's almost given lip service. It's kind of, yeah, I know it, but I'm not doing it. They're just not forward. They're still pushing the product led first or the service led first, as opposed to the trust led. How do I build that trust? And at the end of the day, if they do trust you, they're more than likely going to listen to you. And if they're not, otherwise, they're not going to listen to you. And many people complain about, how do I stand out? Well, if you're going to sound like everybody else and be like everybody else, then you're going to come across like everybody else, right?
That's correct. And like, our whole thesis of NIAC is, trust is broken. We have to build trust. How do we rebuild trust? It's not just broken in sales. If you think of the country, of the world, everything that's going on, it's a pretty crazy time. And if we can really figure out how to rebuild trust, right, or help and give tools to build trust to the next level, NIAC's even bigger than sales, right? It's like, it would be super cool to see it. Even I think it's something we have to solve. We have to trust our neighbors again. We have to trust our government. We have to trust things. We have to trust and believe in things so that we can move forward, right? And that's kind of how I look at this. And back to sales, it's, yeah, when I have to make a decision between A and B, let's say they, the two products, the same thing, which one am I going to trust, right? Which one am I going to go? Because I am not just buying it a product, I'm buying a relationship, right? And that is where things change, because when it breaks, where are you going to be? When it's, you know, I want something else, how are you going to work with me? And that is really what you want to establish as a founder, like that you have that trust with your customer.
Yes, absolutely. And it goes, as you say, it boils down to that relationship. Relationships are long-term, not short-term. So you can have a short-term relationship, but you ideally want that to move into a long-term. And that's the key thing there.
And I think from a product side of the house, I've always been extremely customer-centric, right? So I am avid on knowing as many of the customers personally as I can, because I think that builds that relationship, that builds that trust. They have that door to the top person, right? They have all those things where they feel comfortable in making that decision, whereas I'm not just like another number 127 or something like that. And yeah. I also learn a lot from that, right? They are, every founder has different things that they're facing to grow their companies. And I feel, because we have our own things, right? And everybody has them. And it's how do you help listen and listen really well? And I think that's a skill that is product, but it's also sales. Like, how do you listen, right? And understand what somebody's really talking about and making sure that that trust is always there and you're truly listening and solving.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, JJ. Yeah, and for those listening, just take these little insights. There's so much coming out from this episode here. So listen, Jade, I love what you said earlier about your dream is wake up in the morning. Hey, Siri, well, who are my appointments with today? Who am I meeting? What do I need to know about them or whatnot? So that you definitely see a role of AI playing a massive role in the future in sales and growth for tech companies. But what is one trend that you think in the tech business growth that you think most founders are underestimating today?
Trend. I think, wow, there's so many things changing so quickly. I think some of the things that we are looking at, what have I underestimated? Let's think about it. I think the speed of change of AI, it is going so fast. Like, you can say reg was the thing, now it's agentic, like what's next? But I think if you really remember, it's not a technology, it's solving the problem. What problem are you truly trying to solve? But we get tied up in all this tech trends that are happening and changing so quickly, right? And especially if you ever have to raise money, the person on the other end will be like, well, what's your mode? What's this? What are you doing that's cool and trendy? And you're like, well, what about if I just solve really good problems and give the person and make the people happy? And sometimes the most sexiest solutions or the sexiest things aren't really what works in many ways. So I try to balance that all. I like all cool, shiny, the shiny ball over here. But I really think it through and think like, what are we trying to do and who are we trying to solve it for? And don't take your eye off of that, right? And there's, as I say, there's many ways to solve. There's usually four or five ways to solve problems. So I think the thing that is, don't go after that shiny ball every 5 seconds, right?
Exactly. Stay a little bit more focused on what it is. And because at the end of the day, humans are humans. You know, no matter what tech surrounds us, we're still humans. And you build the relationship with humans, you build the self with humans. I know we're having sales bots now and how AI is helping with that. But ultimately, I can't see a day where the sales bot is working with the buyer bot and you're putting the trust in both of them to help each other grow.
They'll do the research for you. They'll probably come up with a metric and say, here are the five companies you should set demos. Okay, you want me to set the demos with them. But that decision point, those criteria of decision will always be human. Right. I don't even love SDRs that are fully automated. I don't think the tech's there yet. And I think the other people need to remember is we're at the very infancy of AI still in this world, how it's going to change it. And don't get so stressed out that I don't have it yet or I don't know everything about it yet. It's okay. Right. You'll get there. It will come. And remember, it's changing and just embrace it. And I think, don't think of it as the bad things. Think of it as the good things. What other things could you be actually solving, or how better of a relationship could you be building in sales if you didn't have to update your CRM? Or you did, like, what if I could pull all the information, give you the baseline? How much better of a sales call would you have? Because you already know all this information, right? And we already see the beginnings of that in our data sets that we're producing out, like two times as many go through to the next step because you're prepared, right? And then what does that do for overall deal velocity and deal size, right? So as you start to watch these technologies, and it's not just productivity tools, which is what the first step we talk about, it's really this deep relation tools, relationship data that we can help you with, right? You're Gen X, I'm Gen Z, right? How should we communicate? What words should we use? It's interesting to watch it all, and I think it's going to be fun, but don't overstress about it. It's going to make your life easier, and I think we're at the beginning of it. So we're not at the, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job if I don't have AI yet. I think people are trying to figure out how to use it, right?
Yeah, we are really at the beginning. I think people do tend to stress if they're missing the boat or whatever the case may be, and they're trying to jump on, like you said, the biggest shiny ball. And to the point you just made about being in the beginning, I was at an event and I was listening to one of the thought leaders on AI, and they said, where do you believe AI is today compared to the internet? And bearing in mind, this was only a few months ago, he said 1996. So you think you're missing the boat? You're nowhere near missing the boat yet. We're just the very beginning of what can happen. So you know, keep working on those relationships. That's the key thing that we've got in business.
I don't think AI is ever going to do that. And when it does, it will be very interesting. If and when it does, would we ever give it that control? Probably not. I don't see it, you know, this idea of empathy and trust. And there's no indicator that says, hey, I trust this guy in AI, right? It's like, let me summarize information. Let me, you know, it can add some different tones to things or lenses. But I'm not sure it's getting more empathetic. But is it really able? Would you trust it, right? Like, I don't, it's a long way off. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. There's empathy and there's authenticity. They might be able to fake the empathy, but they can't fake the authenticity yet, right?
And there's still
a long way to go.
And there's going to be that in-person piece. I'm still going to have a coffee with you. I'm still going to play golf or go to the spa or do whatever you do, right? Those are going to be those pieces that are going to become even more and more important. You cannot come to one of those places unprepared. And we're already seeing that with the digital first kind of human when needed. Like when they get on that demo, be ready, right? And make sure you personalize it as much as you said, as much as you can. Listen, your listening skills have to become really good. And I would love to see it change demos on the fly, right? And really, when you hear that point, really just generate the demo instantly that you're interested in, right? And then maybe it's not even on the call. Maybe it's after the call. Can demos be done before the, like, if I'm smart enough, it all will be interesting to watch it all come in play. But there's so many things that is exciting. People are like, well, what are you going to do then? I'm like, I'm going to hopefully work less, but work harder and smarter, right? And I'm okay with that, right? And out of the internet, millions of jobs were created. Out of AI, you're already starting to see the beginnings of them, right? Mm-hmm. Just the way it just kind of shifts. It's like,
that's all it is a shift. It's a shift. Well, Gene, listen, you've had such a fabulous career, you know, from where you started to where you are today, and you, the brightness that you see the future is just really, really encouraging. So I've got a loaded last question for you. You know, it's a loaded last question. I ask every one of my guests this. Well, versions of it. It says, if you could go back and give young Gene, and young Gene could be any age, it's totally up to you. If you can give young Gene one piece of advice on success, on building success, what would that piece of advice be?
I think it would be believe. Never doubt yourself on what you believe is the right answer. Because I think sometimes you'll come in and people will ask you, but why this? Like we get asked, well, I don't see trust as the main thing now. I'm like, well, I do. Apparently, you don't understand where we're at. Like, they're at a different point, right? So I believe in what, and yeah, my hypothesis could be completely wrong, right? I don't think it is, but it could. But I'm not going to tilt to something just because somebody else said this, right? I want to be true to what the problem I'm trying to solve, right? And not let others come in and muddy that world. I know it's easier said than done. But especially when you have to make money and if you have investors and you have this, but I think holding true to who you are and never, don't doubt yourself, because people will always put that in your ear to doubt yourself. And yeah. I think, you know, I've done that in my past. And I think if I would have stayed straighter, we would have gotten to where we needed to be quicker, right? Because ultimately it came back around to it. So, and I think, you know, always listen to people. You're not the smartest person in the room remember that. And I think founders sometimes don't, right? They have that I know all kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. So that was what I would, that took a longer time to learn for me. I wish I would have known that a lot earlier, right? Yeah.
Well, that's a great place to end on today. Some great piece of insights there. And so, Gene, if people want to get hold of you, want to learn more about NIAC and how it can help, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
They can come to NIAC.ai. There's a demo link. You can also email me directly at gene@NIAC.ai. Or if truly, I'm open door. If you want to give me a call, you're more than welcome. 415-525-9689. That's in the United States, so +1. Anyway, I would love to talk to you.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure all those are in the show notes at the bottom, so they'll have them to hand from there. So thank you very much, Gene, for your time today and your insights. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus podcast. Hopefully, as always, you've probably been scribbling down on notes in there. You've probably got some couple of great insights. So what I'd love you to do and invite you to do is obviously to like a few things and write down in the comments so that others can see what you've learned from that. Others can see what you found interesting and insightful from that. But more importantly, please make sure you share. This is how we help others, by standing on the shoulders of others as a community and helping us all grow together. So please make sure you share this episode as well. So until next time, keep striving, keep working hard, but more importantly, keep being profitable, and we shall see you on the next episode.